This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
This show may contain strong language or adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to adjust the frequency. We are controlling transmission. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limit frequency.
Good evening, my name is Sam.
My name is Ricardo.
And this is the Outer Limit Frequency. In our second ever episode, we took a look at Japanese rock and metal with a feature on Maximum the Hormone. Now, much later, we decided that it was about time that we revisited Japan, this time with a focus on modern Japanese music, specifically being bands that were formed or primarily active during this century. So no ex-Japan or flower traveling band this time around. Instead, we need to take a look at the state of music in Japan today while we butcher the pronunciation.
Trico are an interesting band in that they have no problem buying into a lot of the Japanese girl group tropes, but they only seem to do so as a cover to smuggle in their naughty technical guitar rock. A J-pop veneer over an untamable, quirky rock edge sounds like a strange combination on paper, but these ladies don't seem to have any problems making it work. What we have here is the perfect meeting point of hooks and chops, and the world is starting to take notice thanks to the band's tireless release schedule. Just before the year is out, Trico will drop Fudeki, their seventh album since their 2013 debut. So to whet your appetites, let's go back to 2021's Jodeki, and the track that introduced me to the helter-skelter world of Trico, this is Inai.
Metal band Dorian Gray may have formed in 1997, but they only released one album before 2000, so they count. To date, they have released 11 albums, with their most recent in June this year, and over the course of those 11 albums, they've managed to cover a wide range of metal subgenres, from nu metal to metalcore, experimental metal to progressive, death metal to pop. They've pretty much done everything heavy and pop without ever sounding like anything but Dorian Gray. I have little doubt that these guys will be considered one of the greatest metal bands to come out of Japan decades after they've finally hung up their guitars, standing alongside X-Japan. These guys are one of the best reasons that you should look into Japanese music, as if you like extreme metal, there's probably at least one album of theirs that you will like. And from their 2022 album, Phalaris, this is 13. Crossfaith are often grouped in with Dorian Gray as a couple of the biggest metal bands to come out of Japan recently. The big difference is that while Dorian Gray are happy to experiment and change style constantly, Crossfaith take a much more simplistic approach. They're metalcore, and that's about it. Granted, they have the Japanese metalcore twist, meaning they do incorporate more electronic elements than their Western counterparts, but yeah, metalcore, and I'll be honest, I'm not usually a big fan of that. However, there are exceptions, and Crossfaith is just different enough to be included in those exceptions. The added electronic elements work well, and there's something a bit more stylistic about their approach to the genre, rather than just being like every other metalcore band. Their most recent album, 2018's Ex Machina, is probably their best, as it is the first time they've seemed willing to experiment a bit more without stepping out of their comfort zone. And right at the end of that album is a cover that I never expected to hear. Originally by Linkin Park, this is Crossfaith with Faint.
See these scars. What I want you to want, what I want you to feel. I decide no matter what I do, I can't convince you to just believe this is real. So, let go, watching you, turn your back like you always do. Face away and pretend that I'm not, but I'm a huge all that I've got.
I can't.
I live around confident, cause you don't understand. I do what I can, but sometimes it don't make sense. What you never wanna say, but I've never had a doubt. It's like no matter what I do, I can't convince you for once just to hear me out. So let go, watching you, turn your back like you always do. Face the way and pretend that I'm not, but I'm the king cause you're all that I've got.
Turn your back on me.
I won't be ignored.
I can't fit the way I did before. Don't turn your back on me. I won't be ignored. I won't take this damage anymore. Don't turn your back on me. I won't be ignored. I can't fit. Don't turn your back on me. I won't be ignored. I won't take.
Back when we did our original episode about Japan, way back when, we made sure to talk about Boris, because as far as we are concerned, they're one of the most important rock bands in the non-English-speaking world. And that's exactly why I insist on talking about them again, even if they've beamed our definitions of this episode just a little bit. And besides, they've released like another four albums since we recorded that one back in 2018, including this year's third edition of the Heavy Rock series, their 28th record overall, and that's one hell of a way to celebrate your 30th birthday as a band. When they first got started, I don't think many expected big things out of Boris. They were an obtuse metal band with a girl on lead guitar, if you can believe that, who were obsessed with atonal guitar drone and named after a song by Melvins. And it's very much to the band's credit they outlived such cynicism, certainly enough to let their true caliber shine through. I love the Heavy Rock series. It's like a spin-off of the main discography of the band, and when your main discography is as long, then it makes sense to find a bit of an outlet. While Boris has always indulged in a little amplifier worship, the focus on Heavy Rock is more on riffs and grooves than blankets of noise. I just wish that all three editions didn't have the exact same title. Naming things might not be their specialty. From Heavy Rock's 2022, this is Question 1.
We'll be right back.
Wagaki Band are interesting. They're basically a rock band that plays your typical rock or metal, but with the aid of traditional Japanese instruments or wagaki. Then there's the lyrics, which are often composed of shijin or traditional poetry. If this all sounds pretty weird, it is. But it works. Since forming in 2013, this 8-piece band have released 6 albums, with their most recent being in August this year. It also says something about the difference in what music is popular in Japan compared with the Western world, because all 6 of these albums charted in the top 5 over there, which makes me happy. This is Senbon Zakura.
Thank you.
I wasn't quite sure what to say about Japanese hardcore vets Rocky and the Sweden. Seriously, there's very little about them, even with the upcoming release of a split EP with Boris. So instead, I'm just going to read the statement that they made upon the release of their most recent album, City Baby Attacked by Buds, from 2019. Hardcore Grasshoppers, Rocky and the Sweden release full-length album in 19 years. Their another two albums, Total Hardcore and God Save the Green, are well known as world's hardcore classics for a long time. These are still listed as favorite by punk and hardcore heads all over the world. Yes, this album is right that you expect, but you can feel change a bit from some songs. It's because of new member, Kazuki Sweden. You'll be blasted by his thrilling guitar play. I mean, what can you say to that? Rocky and the Sweden certainly have the chops to make their stoner punk stand up well beside Boris's sludge metal assault, which, as we've established, is no mean feat. Most of their contributions to this Boris project were previously released, but like most of their material, weren't easy to track down, which is good for us. Prepare to be blasted by Kazuki Sweden and his thrilling guitar player, I suppose. This is Up in Smoke.
Aware that my look at Japanese music will mostly be leaning very heavily towards metal, so I had to go out of my way to find something else that wasn't J-pop, and I think I did, because it turns out Japan has a pretty big pop-punk scene, which honestly is not all that surprising. Many of these bands are pretty dull, to me at least. They just sound like pop-punk bands with nothing really special, the exceptions being Asian Kung Fu Generation, not just because of the name, but also the much more recent and less experienced After Squall. So far, they've only released an EP and one album, but that one album is pretty cool. Not much info out there about them, but I like it, and I just want to hear more. So this is Pinky. Okay, I'll be honest here, I had never heard of this band before I researched this episode, and I only discovered them because I was curious if there was any Japanese folk metal, like how Aelstorm are to pirates and Amon Amarth are to Vikings. I just wanted something Japanese. Well, it turns out when you look up Japanese folk metal, you find a band called Japanese Folk Metal. There is practically no information out there about this lot, except some story about a group of wary travelers stopping by an inn for a drink and creating a band. So, clearly not a real story, unless it is. But let's just go with it. They're mysterious and have so far released two very Japanese folk metal albums. So, this is Sake.
Mikado Koko is one of the youngest artists featured on this episode and easily one of the most artistically daring, and that's the sort of thing we like to get behind around here. After breaking away from her roots as a deep house producer, Mikado Koko went off the deep end of experimental music. While she generally attracts labels such as Art Noise, High Concept, and Avant-Garde, the best description I've read so far is Sonic Dadaism. Perhaps that description will bring to mind a certain other abstract Japanese musician who casts a long shadow over so-called art music. Easily one of Koko's most mind-melting pieces comes from her 2021 album, Alice in Cryptoland, and it's her rendition of Jabberwocky. The poem's words are barely audible over a sinister collage of colliding sounds. What little fragments you catch put an unsettling spin on Carol's patent linguistic absurdism. It's as enchanting as it is terrifying, so enjoy. We'll be right back.
I can't just not mention Maximum the Hormone, right? To me, they're still the best. While they may have only been semi-active lately, every now and then they give us a little tease of what's to come. And most recently have provided one of the ending theme songs to the incredibly bizarre anime, Chainsaw Man. It's short, but it's insane. Kind of like the musical equivalent of Frank Reynolds. This is Hawatari Nyoku Sente, otherwise known as 200 million centimeter long blades.
Not to ever be confused with the Gangnam Style guy, Psy, with a G-H as in Psy. Psy have a career full of twists and turns. The band's 1993 debut was one of only 9 records ever released by Death Like Silence Productions, the short-lived label run by Euronymous of Mayhem fame before his murder. Since then, the Tokyo Metal Titans have been constantly reinventing themselves. Their current incarnation as a primalist jazz metal outfit is fairly distant from their frigid metal roots, but nobody can accuse them of resting on the laurels of their passing association with the genre's most infamous. Psy turned quite a few heads with their 2012 album, Insomnophobia, so much so that even more mainstream metal outlets were forced to give them their dues for their sheer erratic creativity, and I've been watching them ever since, which led me to this next song that was released a few months ago, Myonika no Kae, or Midnight Ghost. Fun fact, if you read down the band's discography, the first letter of each album spells the band's name over and over again. 2022 sees them starting the cycle over for the 4th time with their latest record, Shiki. We'll be right back.
Visual kei is a Japanese style which would essentially be their equivalent of glam. It's not about a style of music, but rather a visual style. If you want an idea of what it looks like, basically take glam and mix it with anime. It's a lot, but when done right, I think it's just great. But because it's not about a genre or a musical style at all, the bands are incredibly mixed. On our second episode, we spoke about the band D, which I personally think best embody the visual kei style as their music sounds like they look, if that makes sense. This time, however, we're looking at Jaluka. They mix avant-garde metal with djent and electronicore to make something incredibly unique. And I also just love the look of this group. They look like Final Fantasy villains, and I love me some Final Fantasy. They've released 8 albums since 2015, so they are clearly very busy. And while they haven't done much this past year, they have not broken up, so fingers crossed there is much more to come. This is Black, with a V instead of an A, because reasons. And thank you for joining us on our look at modern Japanese music. And if you like what you heard, jump on to whatever your streaming service of choice is and check out some of our old episodes brought to you by the people at Access Media.
And since you're coming back next week, we're going to look at some of the great cult heroes of music that have been sampled over the years. Should be an interesting time. We will see you then.
Thanks for listening to this Free FM podcast. If you want to hear more content like this, you can support Free FM via Patreon. Head to patreon.com/freefm89 to find out more.